the Lord and given another day to worship a risen Savior. And we ought to take advantage of it and be thankful. Before we get started this morning, we want to have a time of prayer. Of course, I guess most of you, if you've got any news, have heard about the horrific stuff that's happened down in El Paso, Texas, and then overnight, another shooting in Ohio. I ask you to remember the families involved, and there are still many in the hospital that's suffering those gunshot wounds and different things. And I want to ask you to remember our nation. There was a lieutenant governor from Texas was on this morning, and I wish he was close by. We'd get him to come preach this morning because, buddy, he let them have it. He told them, they asked him, what was the problem? Was it guns? Was it mental health? He said, the problem is our nation has left God. That's the problem. And you can't say it no better than he did. And I'm so proud he said it on a national network where everybody that listens to that could hear it. And that's truly what we stand in need of today. We need a touch from him. We need a returning back to God in our communities, in our churches, in our homes. It's going to start in our homes. And we need to come back to him this morning. Stuff like this happens all the time. We know it's obviously evil, but God is still in control. He's not lost control, not one bit. I ask you to remember my mother. She's still dealing with her cancer. Remember Maudie is... She is still taking treatments and recovering from cancer also. We've got many others. We've got some here this morning that's back from some health problems. Glad to have TNG back with us this morning. He suffered a heart attack and had put some stents in and got him going. And still got a few bruises he'll show you. But and he had a birthday yesterday. And was it yesterday or the day before? Friday. He turned 65. So thank God for that and for healing him and getting another birthday. Do we have any other prayer requests we need to mention this morning?
Lily.
Remember that? That's the baby that's in the hospital. That's they really can't find out what's going on with her. She is having a tough time. She was born 3 weeks early, and she's been in a couple different hospitals. And remember those parents, too. They are worn out from the stress and dealing with that. Do we have any others? I ask you, remember all of our kids be going back to school. Remember our teachers, the ones that have anything to do, lunchrooms, and all the different things it takes to make a school happen. I ask you, pray for them and give them strength and safety as we know what times it is we're in. So we'll pray for that. And also ask you to remember me this week as I'll be going to Wee Dowie for 5 nights preaching revival there. Starts at 7 o'clock. At Bethel West Baptist Church. I told the pastor there this morning, I called him, made sure I wasn't supposed to be there tonight, because y'all know how I am, I can do that. But I made sure I wasn't supposed to be there tonight, and he said no, and I said, boy, I like that time y'all having that. He said, I'm glad you do, because I don't. So it is late, it is later than usual, starting at 7 o'clock at Bethel West. That is in the SWAG community, if you're not familiar with it. Looking forward to being down there with them for 5 nights. And then again, in September, I'll be preaching at place in Tallapoosa for 1 night, so looking forward to that also. So just ask you to pray for me, if you will. Ask God to touch my heart, touch my mouth, touch my health, give me the ability to do it, and I am willing if he'll give me the ability. Do we have any other prayer requests? Amen. Amen. Any others? I know we've got some traveling on vacations and different things still. And so remember those as they come home. And yeah, remember them. I tell you, I was talking to Sunday school this morning. I know it's always been this way and it always will be this way. But so many people are hurting and every one of us in here has something we're dealing with. I don't care who you are, you've got problems. If you hadn't, I'd like to meet you. But you've got something going on in your life. And the thing I've come to understand, and I'm not that old, is that I can't make one day without him. I need to, if I could just learn to turn everything over to him, how much better would I be, because he is in control. Any other prayer requests? Amen. Just remember it. Any others? We got time. We ain't on no certain timetable.
Her brother is not, he's not saved, and he's got cancer, pretty bad. He had a really big mass in his neck. His name's Todd Owen. Would y'all pray for him? He's got a big mass, and spoke most of his life. I think he's quit now, and they had a bunch of hot spots, and it's really, it doesn't look really, it doesn't, he's got BBB right there saying he was at UAB, and do y'all pray for him?
Amen. Any others? Another prayer request. I ask you to each one pray in your own way, and let's pray that God works in these situations. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day thanking you for again for the blessings of life you've given us. God, each day is a gift, and we thank you for it, to be with our families and our friends. Lord, we thank you for a time to come and worship you, that we can set aside this time. And God, I pray for a desire among all of us to desire to be more about your business and to be put you first in our lives. And God, I pray that desire has to come from you. And God, I pray you will give it to us and you'll let us be able to make that choice to do that. And God, I ask you to be with all these requests. I can't start to name each one, but Lord, I ask your will to be done in them, because we know your will is perfect. And God, we pray for those families that's been affected by those shootings in different places in our nation. God, we pray for the responders. God, we pray for the ones who are still treating them today, and Lord, the weeks to come as the families and the first responders will be dealing with what they've seen and what they're dealing with. And God, we ask that they turn to you. God, we pray this morning that truly our nation will see a need for you in their lives, and that God, our return back to you will be the difference in our country. It's not about who our president is. It's not about who our senators or Congress. It's about a nation turning back to God. Lord, we ask you to be with us and give us the strength and understanding to do so. Lord, I pray this morning for our singers as they come. God, I pray that you give them the ability to sing, and they will sing for no other reason than honor and glorify the name of Jesus, for he's worthy. God, we thank you for all these blessings, for it's in Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That he would take my place. That he would bear my cross. You lay down your life. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. more all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life.
Let it. his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
You go in your woods wet. Amen. Something's wrong. We have comfort in those words. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, I think it is, talks about when the Lord appeared in the sky, and it says comfort one another with those words. And that's a great comfort we have of knowing what a great reunion. And not only does it say that he will be back in those skies, which that's the most important part, But who's going to be with him? Those that have went on, those that are asleep, as the Bible calls it, they will come back with him, and what a meeting they will be in the air. Thank God for that promise and the comfort we have. I'll be letting you turn on over here because it might be a little hard to find in Judges chapter number 3. Judges chapter 3, as you turn it over there, that's right before Ruth. May help you a little bit. That's something that I struggle with sometimes, even finding the books of the Bible. That's why you got to get you one of them with the words on it, with the tabs. That'll help you cheat. Now, if you don't know where before too, so nothing wrong with telling the truth. But before we get started this morning, the title of this would be "Use What You Have." Use what you have, and that's all you can use, anyways. What you have. We have been going through on Sunday nights a little book that Tom Rainer wrote, and it's a very good study. If you don't have a chance to come be with us, I wish you would buy the book and read it. It's about scrappy churches. It's about churches who refuse to give up and to close their doors. They have come back from having two or three members even to thriving congregations, have come back from having no money to having plenty of money, have come back from having nothing in the community to being a place in the community that needs to be there. And in doing that, he begins going through some programs of how we get to that point. And he's always talking about use what you have. We're always guilty of saying if we had a better facility, we could do this. We had more money, we could do this. If we had more people willing to do this, we could do this. If we had this, we're always about what we don't have. But bless God this morning, I hope you see that the Bible teaches us we need to use what we have. Use what you have. In Judges chapter number 3, verse number 31, just this one verse, I won't even get you to stand, but I want you to think about it as I read it. You probably never may have heard of this man, or you may not have, but he's got two verses in the Bible, but he did a great work. It says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Shamgar, it says, the son of Anath, slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, we thank you for your scripture. And God, what meaning is in this, if we'll just dig. And God, what you give to us this morning. Lord, we pray for an outpouring of your spirit upon us this morning, that you'll help us understand. And Lord, these blessings we'll ask and receive them. And we give Jesus praise, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. You see, in this day, Israel was in some dark, dark times. In the days of Judges, things was tough. It was hard. And in Judges chapter number 21, verse 25, and actually, if you begin studying that and begin reading your Bible and begin going through the ones who understand a little bit more about it than I do, Judges chapter 21 is the last verse of Judges, but it should be the first verse of Ruth. It should be the first verse of Ruth, but it says, it is in Judges, so we're going to use it in Judges this morning. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel." No king in Israel. And boy, I began thinking about that. The dark times was there because there was no leader. There was no one to lead. There was no king. There was nobody to look to. And I began thinking about, what about today? Why is there dark times in my country? Why is there dark times in my nation? Why are there dark times in my state and in my, maybe even in my home, maybe even in my job? Why is there dark times? And the answer is lying right there, because there is no king. People have left the king. They have left the king. Now listen, we know that we obviously never had a king in America. We have a president, and we've got a republic set up that works pretty great. If they'll leave it alone, bless God. But listen, we must have a king in our lives, or we get off track. And that king must be Jesus. It must be Jesus. And the reason that Israel was going through dark times was because they had no king. And when you have no king, what begins happening is every man does what is right in his own eyes. Because I can talk to one of you, and if you're like me, you hate to admit you're wrong. If you're a man today and you like to admit you're wrong, then bless God, we need to pray for you. Something's wrong with you. Because as men, we hate to admit when we're wrong. We don't like to admit it, and Stephanie says I won't admit it, except from behind the pulpit, sometimes I will, but we don't like to admit we're wrong. But all men do what is right in their own eyes. In Proverbs it says, there's a way which seems right unto man, but the end of it is death. We can make 1,000 reasons up of why what I do is right. I can come up with reasons why I should do this, and I can make you believe it, and why I should do that and make you believe it. But the bottom line of this thing is we better have a king, and that king better be Jesus, or we'll be in a dark time. But here Israel was truly in some dark times. They had doing what was right in their own eyes, and they didn't have a king. And so God let them go through this for just a little bit. But in God's mercy and grace, he would raise up a judge. He raised up several of them. And some of these judges, about the longest they would ever rule, was about 40 years. Some of them wouldn't rule very long at all, and they would die or different things. But God's mercy and grace, he allowed judges to come up and to deliver Israel. He will never allow anyone to overtake that great nation of Israel. It's his chosen nation, and he will preserve it. He may get mad at them sometimes, God can do that because it says, be angry and sin not. But he will always make a remnant to come back, and he will make a way to come back. And that's what he did with these judges. And we read about some judges before him, but in verse number 3, verse 31, we read about one. Now listen, the Bible doesn't honestly say that this man was a judge, this man named Shamgar. The Bible don't really say that he was a judge, but it does say that he delivered Israel. And you begin studying out how many judges was in Israel, most people will count Shamgar as a judge. And whether he was or not, that's between him and God. All I know is for certain that Shamgar delivered Israel. And that's all I need to know today. But listen, I want you to show you something about Shamgar. And the first thing I want you to see is Shamgar did not wait. Shamgar did not wait. And what I mean by that, it means that I love to wait. I am the king of the procrastinators. I've got a revival to preach this week. And I want you to guess how many of them messages I have ready. I'm not going to tell you, because it's embarrassing. I know what they're going to be, but I physically don't have them ready. I don't have the outlines ready. I'll do that tonight, and I'll do the one for Tuesday, Monday night. And because I'm a procrastinator, I can't get out of it. It is born in me. I don't know if it comes from mom or daddy, but I hope one of them has to be punished for it somewhere. I'm joking. But listen, I procrastinate. But if you're honest with yourself, you do the same thing in areas of your life. How do I know that? It's because we'll wait until it's the 1st of January, and we say we're going to lose weight. Or the 1st of January, I'm going to get back in church. Or the 1st of January, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Or we'll do tomorrow, I'm going to do this. And Stephanie always, I'm glad she's not here, she'd kill me. If she's going to start eating right, she says, I'm not doing it on weekend, I'll do it on Monday. I'm going to start eating right tomorrow. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to start coming to church regular tomorrow. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to reach out to my community tomorrow. Bless God, we're always going to do something tomorrow. And may I tell you, you may not have tomorrow, you have today. You have today is all you have for certain. I heard something Nick Saban said. There, Alabama started their first practice. And he said, it's going pretty good. He said, but one thing, we still have some tomorrow-minded people. He said, they want to do what's right, but they want to do it right tomorrow. And I thought, man, how is that not just like the rest of life? We all want to do what's right, but we want to do it tomorrow. We want to put it off. And what if this man Shamgar would have said, I'll put off fighting those Philistines when tomorrow comes? I don't want to fight them today. I'll fight them tomorrow. I won't tell you what would happen. Is Israel would have been overtaken. Because tomorrow may not have ever come for Shamgar. He would have been killed by those Philistines if he had not have fought. And he did not even think about waiting for this. Now church, I'm getting somewhere with this. Give me just a minute. But why is it that we all know that lost people are dying going to hell? We know our community is in a mess. We know we should be reaching them according to the Word of God. That's a job we're to be doing. But you know what I say as a leader, and you say as leaders, and you say as teachers, and you say as congregation, we want to reach out our community, but we got to do this first. We got to finish this first, or we got to do that first. I want to do this first, and when I get this done, I'll do it. And bless God, we may never have that time. It's time that we get started and do what God's given us and do it today. Today, he did not wait. He did not wait. He made haste. I believe he ran towards him. The Bible does not tell us this. The Bible don't tell us much about this story. But it says he slew 600 men. It didn't say nothing about it. He said, well, I'll tell you what I need to do. I don't have nothing here but this little ox goad. I don't have nothing here but myself. I'm going to wait for help to arise. I'm going to wait till winter time to come. Or I'm going to wait till revival season. Or I'm going to wait till this. He didn't say any of that. He says, I see that there's a great need. I'm going to help my nation. I believe he ran towards those Philistines. I believe he ran. It makes sense that he would have waited, though. Think about this. You think, well, surely the Shamgar was irresponsible. That's what we'll say. No, Shamgar lived by faith. And my friends, if you live by faith, the world will still call you irresponsible. Because we should plan. There's nothing wrong with planning. I don't got nothing against you if you plan. You're better than I am. I don't have any. I'm not jealous about it. I just ain't built that way, bless God. I don't plan for anything very much. But listen, Shamgar didn't either. He had faith that God was going to do this thing through him. And what if Shamgar had awaited and he would have been overtaken? But listen, taking on 600 by yourself does not make great sense. It don't. If I was to come out here and there was 600 men that wanted to whoop me, I would try to find me some help probably. But here Shamgar, he knew something. I believe he knew that God was in control. I believe Shamgar had heard from the time he was a young man the things God had done in Israel. And I believe he remembered those times. And listen, I didn't put this down for the guys, but I'm going to flip over here anyway. If you can turn to Judges chapter 2. If you can't, just trust me, it's in the Word of God. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Listen here. I believe that Shamgar had remembered some of this stuff. It says, "And also the generation were gathered to their fathers." That means they died. "And after there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." I believe that Shamgar knew the works that God had done for Israel. I believe his granddaddy taught them to him. I believe his father taught them to him. I believe Shamgar knew that God was going to take care of him. No matter what, he must fight. And church, I want to encourage you to do something. When hard times come and God brings you out of a situation, tell your children about them. Tell your grandchildren about the times God brought you through. I believe that's what Shamgar had done. I believe Shamgar had heard about impossible things that his God had done at the Red Sea. I believe he heard about times that God brought the children of Israel through hard times when water wasn't there. I believe he heard about him giving them water. I believe he heard about the manna what come down from heaven. I believe Shamgar knew that God had worked for Israel, and Shamgar knew that God would continue to work for Israel. So he went out and fought. He used what he had. He did not wait. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, 26. And I've got them all off course here. I'm pretty good at this. It said, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. How can the world, can one man whip 600 with an ox goad?" I'm going to tell you how he could do it. With God is the only way. Because God is all powerful, God is in control, and nobody can understand God. Nobody can outsmart God. Nobody's stronger than God. And with God, all things is possible. And I was thinking about this as I was studying this. I thought, you preacher, that sounds like something a child would believe. And does not my Bible say that to believe God, you must have childlike faith? Listen, children believe all. You put a child, they have superheroes. They believe Superman is real. They believe Batman is real. They have a childlike faith in these characters. And in there, they can conquer a whole world. But my friend, my God can conquer that whole world. And he's not a fable. He is a real person. He's a real being, and he's in control. He's never failed. He never will start failing. And what seems impossible with me is possible with God. You might be going through a hard time. You say, "Preacher, it's impossible." I began to think about my mother. She's getting really down right now. Things is not looking good. She's weak. And I begin praying, "Lord, I don't know what to pray. You don't want to see her suffer, but yet you're not ready to lose her." And you begin thinking, what in the world should you pray? And listen, all I know to do is say, "God, your will be done. Your will be done. If you can give me more years with her, then I'll be happy. But God, if you can't, please don't let her suffer." And that's hard to say, and it's hard to do. But listen, I believe that if God desires to, that he could take that pancreatic cancer, which has hardly survived, I believe he could take it out of her body and restore her like she was when she was 20. I believe he can do it. He has done it, and he'll continue to do it in the past. It may not be his will, he heals my mother. It may not be his will, but I believe he can do it. All things are possible with God. Shamgar saw his nation under attack. There was no time to waste. No time to waste. And listen, church, I want y'all to do something for me this week. I want you to look around. I want you to look around your nation. But I didn't even know what was going to happen when that El Paso and all that happened when I studied this yesterday. But you look around, look at the dark times that we're living in. You turn around and look at what the shape our nation is in. And listen, y'all know I don't preach a lot of political stuff, but I will tell you the truth. And my friend, if a certain group gets in power, freedom, as me and you know it, is going to be gone. Our nation is facing dark times. We are one election away from socialism and from being what I get to do every Sunday morning, being illegal. You can laugh if you want to. You can say that's hogwash if you want to. These people don't believe in anything. They're a new generation, as chapter 2 talks about. They don't know God. They don't know what God's done in America. They know nothing about God, and they care nothing for God. We're one election away from a nation turning their back completely away from God. Right now, yes, we got a lot of problems, but we do have a leader that will even mention the name of God. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. Don't wait. See the need that's there and help. I don't know what it is you can do. Now you say many times, we say, well, I can't do much. So you know what we do? We sit right there and do nothing. You say, well, I ain't got much to help with. I ain't got much money to give for missions. So what do? We don't give anything. You say, I don't have much time to work in church, or I don't have time to do this. So what do? We stay at home and we contribute not anything to the kingdom of God. The problem right now with the kingdom of God is that people have sat down on God. They have turned their backs on God. They have put their own selves above God. They have created themselves other gods. And because of this, there are dark times in our nation, in our world. It is no time to waste. No time to wait. Shamgar didn't wait. Number two, Shamgar didn't want. He didn't want anything. He didn't sit there and think, well, oh my goodness, there's 600 men, and look what I've got, an ox goad. And no, any of you know what an ox goad is? I didn't know much about what an ox goad was. It's about 10 feet long. On one end is a spear. On the other end is a chisel. The spear was for poking the oxen and making them do something, and the chisel is for breaking up rocks and roots when they was plowing. That's what he did with it. It was a farmer's tool. It was used for farming. It wasn't used for battle. But bless God, what you have may not be used to reach people. You may not think it's used to reach people, but God intends it for good, and God can use it for good. You can only use what you have. Shamgar didn't want. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as his ability which God giveth. And that God all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom he praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What in the world does these verses mean? These verses mean use what God's give you. Use what you have. You may not, hey, it tells us right there, if any man minister, let him do it as an ability which God giveth. You may not be the best there's ever been, but you do the best you can with what God's give you. And that's all you can do. That's exactly what Shamgar did. Shamgar didn't have a machine gun. He didn't have a machete. He didn't have a sword. And by the way, you know what Shamgar's name was? Sword. Shamgar's name meant sword. So here was a man whose name was Sword, but all he had to fight with was an ox goad. He used what God gave him, and he did not want. He didn't do anything. And I began thinking about that name, Shamgar. And it means sword, and I began thinking about how in the world did this man become named Sword when all he's ever mentioned in the Bible is using an ox goad? Well, I believe the answer to this lies in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all thou shalt send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. The Lord put forth in his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. You know what he was telling Jeremiah? Jeremiah, you've got everything you need. Go do it. You've got everything you need because I've given it to you. He said, before you was formed in your mother's womb, I had already fashioned you. I had already made you. I had already made you a prophet. I had already set your being into order. I had already given you exactly what you need. And my friend, today, if you're in this church house, you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The use that God had for you in his kingdom, he gave to you the ability to do it before you was ever in your mother's womb. It was given to you. Use what you have. You say, but preacher, you don't know. I don't have no ability. Yes, you do. You can do something. You can do something for the glory of God. And do what it is. What if Jeremiah had said, God, I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm just not going to do it. You know what God would have done? God wouldn't have been out of business. He'd have raised up somebody else. But God knew what Jeremiah would do. God knew what Shamgar would do when he placed an ox goad in his hand. And God knows what you can do if you are willing to use what he's give you and do not want. All he had was this little farming tool. Looked like a death sentence to go out against 600 men with an ox goad. Didn't make a bit of sense. Scriptures would have never mentioned Shamgar's name if he'd have wanted the correct tools before battle. If Shamgar had awaited and had wanted, Shamgar's name would never have been in two verses of the Almighty Word of God. The only truth we have on this earth would never mention the name of Shamgar. And I want to tell you something. Having your name mentioned in the Word of God, I don't know anything no bigger than that is. That's the greatest accomplishment a man could have. And Shamgar's name got put there simply because he used what God had given him. And today your name's never going to be in the Word of God, although it is there. It's a love letter to you. But physically your name is never going to be there. Chad Morgan will never be written in the Word of God. But bless God, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, isn't it? Hey, it's in one of the books, but listen. It was there because he used what God gave him and he didn't want. If he had been waiting and wanting, his name would never have been there. Shamgar didn't focus on what he didn't have. Can you imagine as those Philistines come up through there? I can just imagine. Now listen, there's authors and writers that say we don't know if the 600 was killed at one time or was it separate battles that Shamgar overcome them. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to say it was at one time. But can you imagine that Shamgar was standing there? Here he is with his farming tool, with his oxen, and he's been a plowing, and here comes 600 Philistines, and they're decked out in military gear, and they got great big swords, they got great big shields in front of them, and all these things. And Shamgar, if he would have been me, you know what he said? I surely can't fight against this group. I don't have what it takes. I look out, and I know what God's commissioned our church to do. It's to reach the lost, and I say, God, I don't think we can do that with what you've given us. And I look, and what God wants to do in our community, and I say, God, I don't think we can do that with what we've got here right now. God, you've got to send more. Now listen to me, honey. God has everything right here in New Harmony Baptist Church that he needs to reach the whole world. What's the problem? We're not using it. We're not using it. Shamgar didn't focus on what he didn't have. He focused on what he had. Was this 10-foot ox goad? 10-foot. Could you imagine how heavy that thing must have been? And he was a going to kill 600 men with it. Oh my goodness, what faith this man must have had. He had faith in an almighty God. Listen to me, don't get confused and think his faith was in an ox goad because he knew how to use it. His faith was in a God that he knew would prosper. His faith was in a God that had delivered before and would deliver again. He did not want. Listen, lastly, we're about to close. You're going to be up quick today. Shamgar didn't worry. Shamgar didn't worry. Boy, if he ever needs one, this is me. Shamgar didn't worry. I began thinking about what in the world was Shamgar thinking? Oh, how did he think he was going to overcome this? He didn't. Shamgar never thought about it. He run into battle, not ever worrying about what was going to happen, not worrying about what's going to take place. Why do I know this? Because he knew what Joshua had been told. You see, Joshua was the last leader before the judges took over. And listen to what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. He knew something. He knew a truth that if God be for him, who could be against him? He knew if God was on his side, then nobody could overtake him. Listen, I believe Shamgar had heard of the Red Sea. He had heard of Jericho. He had heard all these great things that Joshua had led the children of Israel for. He had done all this. What in the world would it have done him any good to worry? Can anybody in here tell me, and listen, I am with y'all. I'm the king of the warriors also. Can anybody tell me what worrying has ever done for anybody? You know what worrying is? A waste of time. A waste of time. They say over 3/4 of things you worry about, you cannot fix. You cannot do anything about, yes, you can eat better about your health and do exercise, but you cannot decide whether you get cancer or not. You probably cannot even decide where you get heart disease. All that is hereditary, high blood pressure. You can worry yourself to death about it, but the bottom line of it is you cannot change it. All worry does is waste time. He didn't have any time to waste. Time. I want you to think about this also. The time that you're worrying, you realize that's something you cannot get back. You'd be better off to pay $100. You can make more money. But you can never, ever get another second back. You can't do anything about time. You can't capture time. You can't slow it down. You can't do anything about it. And when you worry, you're simply wasting what God has given you, which is today, which is time. Shamgar had every humanly possible reason to worry and to sit still and to wait on the right timing. He lacked the right weapon. He lacked the knowledge. Nobody was with him. He was alone, and he probably had more excuses. Oh, can you imagine a mully grubs he could have got in? Oh, me, it's so bad, God. You don't understand. There's 600 coming to get me, God. And look what you put me in. I'm all alone. I don't have nobody here with me. And we know we do. We got God with us. If we're saved, we're certain. He's living inside us. You said, God, I don't got the knowledge. I'm not a warrior. God, you want me to defeat 600 Philistines? I'm a farmer. I follow oxen all day, God. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability. I don't have this. Oh, we make up a lot of excuses of why we can't do something. And we're forgetting. When we do this, we're limiting the hand of God. The hand of God was about to work in Shamgar's life. He was about to be real in Shamgar's life, and he was about to miss out on it. But he didn't. He ran for it. And because of this, verse 31 says Shamgar defeated the enemy and delivered Israel with a little old thing called an ox goad. Shamgar was a nobody that God used to deliver a whole nation. It was temporary. It was temporary, by the way, but he still did it. He made a difference in some lives, no doubt. Shamgar was a farmer with no trained fighting skills of any kind. What he did have was a resolve to make a stand for God. We need some Shamgars today. Will you be a Shamgar? You say, well, I'm a nobody. Shamgar was mentioned twice in the Word of God. But he delivered 600 people. When God calls you, remember something. The battle's not yours, it belongs to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken all you Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I'm going to ask you one question in closing. Has God ever lost a battle? Have you ever read anywhere where God lost a battle? These Bible scholars that's way, way smarter than me say there's evidence of a great battle that took place in the spiritual realm where we get a lot of the planets and different things that's happened to the planets and all these things come from. I'm not smart enough to think about that. It makes my head hurt. Very possible. But God has never lost. He cast a serpent out, and so many of his angels, of Satan's followers, he's cast them out. He's never lost a battle. The battle that goes on in your lives, you may feel like you're losing. My friend, if you're God's, the battle is his. It's not even yours. And God is not going to let you lose a battle that don't belong to you. It's his. And for his name's sake, he never will lose a battle. He is not going to start today. But what he does require of you is to use what he gives you. Use what he gives you. You see, we're living in a time when people will say, oh me, I don't have a job. And the jobs are out there. Every place you go to has got a sign on it, needs help. You know why they say, I've been praying for God to give me a job, and I've been here on this couch, and it hadn't come yet. You know why it hadn't come? You ain't went out the door. If God's given you ability to go out the door and hunt a job, I believe he'll provide a job. He expects you to use what he's given you, and he will bless. Church, we got a responsibility even to use what God's given us. Each one of you on these pews have an ability that God has given you for his kingdom. I promise you. Some of you can talk better than others. Some of you can reach people better than others. Some people can invite. Some people know about technology. Some people know about this. There's all kinds of things you can do in the community. God's got a reason for you. And he's got a purpose for you, and he's empowered you with what it is you need. Today will you use what it is God has given you. If you'll stand, we'll get Miss Pat to come forth. Shamgar, an old farmer, defeated 600 men with a farm tool. Killed them. We don't know much about that. The Bible tells us the only one other place Shamgar is mentioned in chapter 5. It says in the time of Shamgar, things were so bad that travelers couldn't even go up and down the road. It was so dangerous. People were getting robbed, they were getting killed, they were getting murdered by these Philistines, and all these things was terrible. And Shamgar stood up and slew 600 of them and delivered Israel for a short time. You don't ever know what your one thing can do to a whole community. You don't ever know what your whole thing can impact the kingdom of God. Your one little ox goad you hold can defeat a whole army of the enemy. You got to be willing to step out into battle. Quit hunting excuses of why you can't and figure out why you can. Boy, that's a hard message. It's hard for me. Because I love them excuses because they give us a way out. Oh, we make excuses of why we're going to do it tomorrow. You can see I'll go eat in a few minutes and they'll bring a biscuit or one of these things and I'll say I'm going to quit eating bread tomorrow. I'll get up tomorrow and I'll go to Jack's and they'll bring out a biscuit and I'll say, oh, I got to eat it out dark tomorrow. It's an ongoing process. Until you resolve that you'll do it today, you will not do it tomorrow. You will not do it. As she plays, you need to come. Maybe you're here today and God's been dealing with you about receiving His Son. The Spirit's been drawing you. He's been softening that heart, doing everything it is, and it's time for you to make a decision. You've been saying, God, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want this right. I want that right. I want that right. I want that right. And He's saying to you, I have given you what you need. I've given you my Son as a free sacrifice. I've given you breath to come to this church house this morning to hear this message. I've given you everything you need. Now it's your time to use it. What will you do? You may be here and you may have been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. You've never accomplished anything for the kingdom of God. You've always been waiting for the right pastor. Always been waiting for the right deacons. Always waiting for the right ability. Always waiting for the right song leaders, the right choir, the right ensemble, whatever it may be. You've been waiting on something to make a difference. The whole time you've held it right there in your ox goad. That thing God has given you. You've never once tried it out. Will you try it for the Lord as she plays?